Copperhead Radio, David Allen Carmichael here again. To go to that preservativetalkradio.com and find out more, contact us. You can find our phone number there, our office number, 757-320-2220. That's really fast, but you can pick it up. And I'll tell you what, one of the things we do is we use a toll-free number here that will be routed to that same phone number during office hours. Stand by for that toll-free number for you to give us a call tonight and give us a talk. Tell us what you think, what's going on. Of course, you dial one. It's toll-free, 888-248-2046. That's 248-2046. Something troubling in the news that Tennesseans are concerned over. Two more deaths in Tennessee from fungal meningitis outbreak were confirmed today. This is a Associated Press story, obviously, that are being posted. Well, it's not an Associated Press. I guess the photo I'm looking at, but this is the National Institute of Health and the Tennessee Health Commissioner. Don Dreisner said the period of exposure is over, he said, but their period of risk is ongoing. The issue is if you have some kind of steroid treatment you've had in a certain number of days, I'll be reading what the details are here. But that might be something that you may want to see your doctor, find out whether you're somebody who might be subject to being at risk. The odds of you getting exposed from this point is over because they found the tainted steroid batches or whatever you'd like to say. The Commissioner Don Dreisner of the Commissioner of Tennessee Health said the incubation range has been increased from 2 to 28 days this is strange the way they said it. Basically, they've increased the incubation range from 6 days to 42 days. While some experts believe an incubation period of up to 3 months may be necessary, that means that you may have gotten one of these tainted batches, and it's possible that up to 3 months later that you could contract the disease. And this is a certain form of meningitis, so it's something to be concerned about. Dreisner said 4 more patients have been identified, bringing the total disease Tennessee cases to 39. There have been 6 deaths in all. So that's a concern. He said that 1,000 people in Tennessee have received epidural injections with the tainted steroid for back pain. And so they believe it's about 1,000 people there that are at risk that they understand. And this would be epidurals that were given between June 27th and September 28th. About 5 of those given epidurals developed symptoms that can range from severe headaches to worsening back pain to fever. We expect most people will not develop a fungal infection. Most people. Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims. Oh boy. Let's see. It says all the cases involve shipments of steroids tainted with fungus sent out by New England Compounding and administered as epidural injections, a common treatment for back pain. And there's a little bit more details here. So if you have access to internet, do a search on this Tennessee outbreak of meningitis, and I'm sure you can get more information. So that's a concern for everybody. If you know some people have a back pain situation and they may not have heard the news, you might want to ask them what their treatments have been and encourage them to check into to contact their doctor to see if it would affect them. Something else in the news here, I thought this was interesting. There's a report today that has come out. This is from, trying to think what the polling agency is. It may be Gallup. There's a report that U.S. Protestants have lost majority status in a recent poll. For the first time in history, the United States does not have a Protestant majority, according to a new study. And one of the reasons, the number of Americans with no religious affiliation is on the rise. And I haven't done my homework. I should have done this. I was doing other things today, so I should have done a little homework on this. This is a fairly new, it was published today, so I wasn't on top of it. But I'll have to check out what the stats of Tennessee population, northwestern Georgia, is of Protestants, Catholics, and other major religious denominations. The percentage of Protestant adults in the U.S. has reached a low of 48%, first time that Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life has reported, so it was a Pew Forum. They reported with certainty that the number was falling below 50%. It's been anticipated, comes at a time when no Protestants are on the U.S. Supreme Court, and Republicans have their first presidential ticket, with no Protestant nominee. So what is a Protestant? As I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, at 888-248-2046. That's 888-248-2046. I think that comes from King Henry VIII, right? Isn't that when they protested and claimed that, well, there was a few protesters at the time that were actually suffered some pretty severe persecution. There were some folks in Europe who were claiming that there, essentially, that Jesus was the head of the church and they were anti-papists or whatever you might call them. But then when the King of England decided that it was better for the King of England to be the head of the church rather than the Pope in Rome, then I think that's where Protestantism started. Of course, I haven't done extensive research on that. That's kind of the urban legend that we're all subject to. So that's kind of anecdotal to show you my lack of education. Hopefully I can mesmerize you sometimes with just profound knowledge, and every now and then I'm just frankly honest with you and show you how much I don't know. So that's what I would say. So I wish I'd checked the demographics on the area and the broadcast area, just find out where people are. I think it's, can I tell you, I'll give you my anecdotal impression of what happened. The church has been asleep in the light. That's what I think. I watched the church that I've attended and been a leader in the church and teacher in adult and youth Bible studies. And I find in Christendom that we've been pretty lackadaisical, that we've taken our faith, I'd say, on general terms, as a people, we've taken our faith quite lightly. We've left the preaching of the gospel to the hired professionals, who are too busy giving the customers in Sunday morning services, Saturday night services, Friday night services, and all that kind of stuff. They've been kind of pandering to the crowd that was comfortable. And so what time would the pastor of the church have to really be out preaching the gospel? He ends up preaching the gospel to the choir every Sunday morning. And that's kind of, sounds, again, cynical, but that's the impression I get. It's been troubling to me and other people that I talk to. And so I do see recently an awakening that every person who begins to remain in the church on a Sunday morning service, as the numbers dwindle, they begin to realize how important it is for them to shoulder their role to take that great commission that Jesus told us about. He said, "All authority has been given unto me, therefore go." And he commanded his disciples to make disciples, teaching everything that he has commanded us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he promised that he would be with us, actually present with us, till the end of the age. So if you're not a Christian, you don't know about those things. Today, outside of reading this article, I was thinking about something that I realized, or made me aware, that the current generation that's upcoming doesn't even know what the Bible is. It's been mocked. They've been raised in a school system, education system, that is Marxist generally. If you're an educator, you may say, "Oh, that's not true." Stop and go interview the kids that are coming out of high school after the full 12 years, what their worldview is. It's Marxist. Absolutely. Very few, a vast minority, have retained the teaching of their parents or the church or whatever affiliation they have. But for the most part, it's Marxist. So we've got people coming out of the education system. They're being raised through their station of life with a predisposition against the Bible. It's going to reap fruit. And so we're seeing the product of it. And in fact, they wouldn't even know what it is. I had an instance when I was a chief petty officer in the Navy, where I had the opportunity to, in a chief initiation, there was another service member who was being promoted to the rank of chief petty officer, and there's this initiation process that we have. And so he was kind of guy that was kind of antagonistic toward me, and he was kind of always kind of a thorn in my side. And I was always tempted to be just rude with the guy instead of doing my Christian duty and love him no matter what, right? So I was prayerfully considering, what do I need to do with this guy, and as far as making sure that I have a right relationship, of course, in the military structure and authority structure and things like that. There has to be the right context there. But as a man who claims to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior and Redeemer, how ought I to act to somebody who just drives me nuts? Well, this occurred to me that I would have him come to me every morning, you know, and one of the things was they'd say, here, give me a cup of coffee and go sign my book. It was this kind of silly thing they would say when they, among other things, when they'd get you to sign this certain charge book they had, we called it. And so I told him, well, your assignment is to come to me every day for the next 30 days, every workday for this month, and you're going to get a word for the day from me. And so that was his assignment. He sat right next to me, and he was kind of my, he was my ward, effectively. We're all kind of assigned somebody. Well, I was assigned to him, or he was assigned to me. So I said, this is your task. Come to me for a word of the day. Well, so he came to me the first day, and I wrote on his, in his book, in a multitude of counselors, or it says, no, I'm sorry, the fool does what is right in his own eyes, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And he's, whoa, that's profound, chief. Whoa, multitude, wow, the fool does what is right in his own eyes, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. It's either that or, you know, a long time since I've memorized that one. It might have been, but he who listens to counsel is wise. It might have been that. I'm sorry. I should have looked it up real quick. I made sure I double checked these things before I gave it to him. So he writes that down. And he comes to the next day. And I had something like smoke to the eyes and vinegar to the teeth. So is a sluggard to those who send him. Whoa, what do you mean? Explain that. You know, well, you know, like vinegar and smoke, very irritating. Well, so is a guy who's a sluggard. We call it a slug. Somebody who would, you know, loathe work. Said the person you use that acts like a slug, you don't even want to assign him a work. It's a pain in the neck to you to even give him an assignment because it's not worth your trouble. It actually increases your trouble having to assign them work, right? So, whoa, chief, that is so profound. I kept giving these words of the day. Where did I steal them? Where did I plagiarize them? From whom? Solomon, right out of the book of Proverbs in the Bible. And over time, after 2 weeks of this, he just thinking, where am I getting this stuff? He wanted to buy the book. And then, of course, I was able to explain to him it came out of the Bible. Well, his mocking of the Bible stopped. It was the first time I actually had him in a conversation with religious overtones or context that he wasn't mocking me. Suddenly, he was getting a dose of wisdom that he had not ever heard before, and it came out of the Bible. So what are you doing? What kind of salt or light are you sprinkling in your life? Are you an influence on somebody? Are you an influence for good? Are you an influence for bad? I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is my Faith and Freedom Show. It's Preservative Talk Radio. We normally will be talking about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis. Yes, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. I call this Preservative Talk Radio. I encourage you to go to preservativetalkradio.com. Something I mentioned yesterday, I've actually got YouTube clips of a class I'm teaching some high schoolers on government, American government from a Christian perspective. It's on my YouTube channel. I don't have a lot of viewers so far on YouTube. I don't really publish it that much. But it's youtube.com/freelancehuman. David Allen Carmichael will be back, 888-248-2046.